Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to talk about the gospel today, John chapter 8. Let us pray as we continue to hear God's word. We pray, O blessed Trinity, we praise you for being our God, for giving us your holy word that teaches us of you and of your mercy. Bless the preaching now of your word. Bless our hearing of it. Grant us faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today, are you mad, sad, or glad? What describes you? Today, Holy Trinity Sunday, the church, not just First Lutheran Church, but the church largely throughout the world, the church boldly confesses. We do this always, but especially Holy Trinity Sunday. We boldly confess, we boldly sing, we shout, there is only one God. There are not two gods, there aren't four gods, there aren't seven gods, or nine gods, or 22 gods. There's one true God, three persons, the Father who made me, the Son who saved me, the Holy Spirit who sanctifies me. He is the one true God of the universe. We worship and adore him. And as we proclaim that and sing that and teach that, the one true God, the Blessed Trinity, there are some in the world that get very, very mad. And I think there's many in the world that get sad. And I pray we be very, very glad. We have these three responses, really, in the gospel lesson. John chapter 8, Jesus of Nazareth is saying that he is God. He's the second person of the Trinity who leads us to the Father. Again, it's the Spirit who's teaching us all this in the Word. And as Jesus teaches that, there is a group that gets mad, very, very mad. Still people get mad today about that. And then I suggest there's another group, not mentioned, that's very sad, and then there's one person who's glad. We'll get to him here in a little bit. Same thing today. First of all, there's a group here in Johnny that's very, 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 very mad. This is the Jews, probably specifically the Jewish leaders. They're angry. They're mad. They insult Jesus. They call him demon-possessed. That's pretty bad. They call him a Samaritan. That's pretty bad. At the end of the text, they try to kill him, stone him. That's really bad. And of course, you read about 11 chapters later in John 19, they do kill him on a cross. Why are they so angry? Why do they hate Jesus so much? Because he claims to be God. And in their eyes, he's a blasphemer. Jesus says that the Father will glorify him. What an amazing thing for someone to say. The Father's going to glorify you, Jesus? Yes, because I'm equal with the Father. He'll raise me from the dead. Also to his right hand. Jesus says that his word gives life. If you trust my word, you'll never see death. What man can say that my word conquers death? If you're God, it's true. They don't believe he's God. He's a blasphemer. And then above all, the climax is at the end. When Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. Recalling the burning bush of Moses' day, when Moses asked God, what's your name? And God said, what? I am that I am. And Christ is saying, I am the I am. Meaning that God that spoke to Moses, I'm that God now in not a bush, but I'm in a body. I'm the God man. I'm God in the flesh. That's why they want to kill him. And eventually, they do kill him. So this Holy Trinity Sunday, a great day in the church, we have a reality check. It's a fairly sobering text. Brings us down to earth a little bit. Jesus was hated, is hated now, and will always be hated by many people in the world. And since we are his followers, we have been hated, are hated now, and will be hated to the very, very end. Get used to the idea. That's the way it is. The world of unbelievers, many of them rage at God and hate God. If we merely teach that Jesus was a good man, that he did some miracles and helped some people, and he was a nice man, and he got killed, and good teacher. If that's all we taught, the world would say, oh, that's wonderful, another good man for us to follow, another good example. But the church doesn't merely teach that. We teach boldly that he is the very Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. He's the one who was here before Abraham was ever here. He's the one begotten of the Father. That's what we teach. And he's the only way of salvation. There's no other way. And much of the world hates that. And they want blood. And they still do. Look around the world. With the collapse of the bridge in Washington that happened this week, we pray for all that, and the tornado victims certainly pray. But with that collapse, I heard on the news last night where some experts are now saying that 1 out of 9 bridges in America is deficient. We got a problem with old bridges in America. 1 out of 9 is deficient. I hope you don't drive on that one bad bridge. Here in Knoxville, we can't even build a bridge. When's that bridge ever going to be done? I don't know. And there are people in the world, you see, a lot of people want there to be many bridges to heaven. I want there to be many roads to heaven, many bridges to heaven. I want to be able to pick the right bridge for me, the pretty bridge, the nice bridge, the short bridge. They want many bridges, and dear friends, there are many bridges to heaven. There are many bridges to heaven, except all but one falls short, and you crash, and you burn. The one perfect bridge that has no deficiency is Christ himself, because he is God. He won't break down. With him, you don't crash and burn. But people want all the other bridges. You're baptized. You've been placed on the bridge which is Christ, the ladder of Christ that Jacob saw. You're on that bridge. You're on that ladder. Don't jump off and bring a whole bunch of people with you on that bridge. Sobering. Many get mad at the Trinity. There are those that become sad. I think there's a group of people here in John 8 that are very sad. And this would be the crowd that's watching. When you read the New Testament, there's always usually a crowd that's watching all of this. The spectators, the crowd. And they're always curious about Jesus. Just who is he? Is he the prophet? Is he the Christ? Is he or isn't he? They're kind of on the fence. They're curious. And they're watching Jesus do battle with these religious leaders. And they try to take him out and stone him. And I imagine through this whole battle, a lot of them are sad. Why can't they just get along? Why can't Jesus and the leaders just get along? Why do you leaders have to call Jesus a Samaritan and demon-possessed? How rude that is. And why do you try to kill him? And then Jesus, they're probably saying, why are you saying such incredible things like before Abraham was, I am? Jesus, come on, back off. How can you say such stuff, Jesus? Come on, kiss and make up. Compromise, hug each other, group hug. Come on, Jesus and Jesus, group hug. Let's all love each other and get along. Sad at the strife, the division that leads to death. And there are many, many people in the world, and this invades the church too. Many, many, many that are sad as they look at all the religions of the world. Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, and all the other isms, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, all these religions, all these churches, they're all out there. And oh, why can't they just all get along, much of the world says? Why can't they kiss and make up? Why can't they just compromise their various teachings? That's not all that important. Come on. Compromise some of those details. Group hug. Get along. We'll mix up the religions together and have one nice religion we can all tolerate and love. Because it's all about love anyway, isn't it? Not about truth. It's about love. Let's get along so we don't kill each other. Let's coexist so we don't kill each other. As if truth doesn't matter. Dear friends, I'm not the one that said the Holy Trinity is the only true God. He said it. I am God and there is no other. He said it, not me. I'm not the one, the church isn't the one that's spouting that Jesus is God. Jesus himself says it. And he proves it by his resurrection. He doesn't back off either. Doesn't compromise that. I'm not the one, the church isn't the one spouting that Jesus is the only way of salvation. He said that. I am the way, the truth, the life, John 14, a few chapters later. No one comes to the Father but by me. He said that. The church didn't make it up. We live in a world where people don't care. I'm talking about people in general. Don't care all that much about doctrine. And Holy Trinity Sunday bores a lot of people. Oh no, I got to say this Athanasian Creed and the doctrine of the Trinity. Why does it really matter? And the doctrine of Christ being God and man and what he did. Why does all this doctrine matter? It's all kind of boring and out there somewhere. It's all too academic. Sad. Truth or error? Truth leads to heaven, error leads to hell. That's why it matters. Think of doctrine, I like to think of it kind of like a recipe. Does it matter if you follow a recipe when you cook? Does it matter? Oh, it calls for vegetable oil. Well, I have some motor oil out in the garage. I'll try motor oil. Oh, it calls for apple juice. Well, I'm a good Lutheran. I have some beer. It looks like apple juice. I'll put beer in instead of apple juice. Doesn't matter. Who will even know the difference? They're Lutherans anyway. They kind of like it better than apple juice. Salt, sugar. Well, they both look the same. They're both white. I'll put salt in rather than sugar. What's it really matter? Well, do you want to poison people and make them sick? And Ruth up there says amen about getting sick from bad food? Or do we want to give good food? If we mix teachings and mix truths and mix error with truth, I should say, we mix all this together, we poison people and it leads to hell, not just a stomach ache. Doctrine helps us give good food, righteous food, saving food, that people eat of it, partake of it with ears and mouth today and live. People are mad at the Trinity, sad we don't all just get along. And then there is one mentioned in John 8 that's very, very glad. And there are others, no doubt, but one is mentioned. Who's really glad? Who is glad to see Jesus' day? Abraham, the father of the Jews. The irony of all this. They all hate Jesus, trying to kill him. And Abraham, their father, longed to see the day of Jesus, rejoiced and was glad when he saw it. Abraham was glad. Why was Abraham glad? Because he believed. When you don't have faith in the Trinity, you don't have faith in Christ, you're mad at him, or you're just sad, you just wish everybody just got along. It doesn't matter. But when you have faith, you are glad in this day, like Abraham. He was glad because he believed in the Trinity. He saw Christ coming. He knew that God loved him. God called him when he was an idolater, folks. He didn't worship God. He was an idolater, and God called him out of grace, out of his pagan religion and pagan land, and called him to a new land. And God protected him, watched over him. God forgave him and forgave him. He was an adulterer. He was an idolater. He was a liar. He was a scoundrel in many ways, this Abraham. And yet God forgave him and forgave him and forgave him. And he saw the coming of Christ as he nearly sacrificed his son. As he nearly sacrificed Isaac there, he was foreseeing that God himself would have to sacrifice his son for his sins and the sins of the whole world. He saw that in the near death of Isaac. And the land he lived in, he foresaw the land of heaven, the true land he wanted to go to. That was the country he longed for, was heaven. And he knew it would all happen through the sacrifice of the Messiah, even though the Messiah hadn't come. He knew the Trinity was a God of mercy and forgiveness. And he was glad. And I pray today that we, the baptized, we're not just glad because we know the doctrine of the Trinity. Yes, may we know that and trust it and confess it. It's very important. But we are so glad in our hearts because we believe. It's one thing just to know him as some kind of an object out there. It's another thing to trust him and to love him and adore him because he loves me. May we be glad because we are baptized in his name. He has called me from my pagan life of sin and filth, made me his child in baptism. He gives me his holy word today, his holy absolution, his holy supper, and forgives me and forgives me and forgives me all my wretchedness every day. He's a God of mercy and forgiveness in the blood of his son, and he loves me. And I long for a better home called heaven, where I will rejoice with him forever and ever, and all the saints and angels. I am so glad at the Holy Trinity. You know what is the sunniest place in America? I know you're all thinking Indiana's on the tip of your tongue. It's not Indiana. The sunniest place in America is Arizona. right behind it, California and Nevada. Sorry, Tennessee. We got great weather here too. I suggest the brightest spot, the sunniest spot, not Arizona, California, or Nevada. It's called the Christian Church. Though we come with sickness, though we come with diseases, though we come with much sin and guilt and fear, though we come with tornadoes hitting our country, bridges breaking down, people dying, floods throughout the world, buildings crashing, it's a troubled world. We have trouble in our lives. Though we come with all of that, we have the brightness of our God and the bright absolution, your sins are forgiven. The bright love of God and the mercy of God, His body and blood, the promise of eternal life. The bright Son of God shines this day upon His church. Rejoice and be glad, church. Never take it for granted. Don't go home saying, just another Holy Trinity Sunday. This is the Holy Trinity. This is our God who loves us. Some are mad today. Some are sad. May we be glad. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We stand.